Dude, really, Dan, or you come ahead, please? We often say on Sundays in that the Sunday school and the message go together so well, or they were so perfectly related to each other. And I was noticing this evening, in the book of James there, where the young children were reciting, hit on so many passages that I was going to bring up, and I'm still going to bring up my message this evening. And then Samuel's message was also very, very related to my subject. But we have to recognize that we're not only teaching from the same book, reading from the same book, but that every principle in that book is interwoven and very, very much leaning on every other principle in that book. And most times, if you had took two sermons out of this book, out of the Word of God, those principles are going to be leaning on each other somewhere in there, because it's all very important to have every piece of the puzzle, to have every part of the faith that was once delivered to first Israel, then to the apostles, then to the early church by the apostles. Very important to have every piece, because they're all interdependent and interwoven with each other.
Amen.
Proverbs 28:9-18 says, "Where no vision is, the people perish." And it's very easy, as young people growing up, moving from children in a home to striking out on our own in some way or another, whether with work or however it may be, to not so much have a vision, but just to go along from day to day. Some people, I'm sure many people in here, they seem to sort out having a vision by the time they learn to walk. And they're going and going and going. About, it seems like, from watching, you know, those of us that have, that those of us on the outside, it seems like, well, they're just really keep getting stuff done. They're going from here to here to here, getting all these things done, being productive, being successful. But there's real work that it takes. And I know from my experience, every person has to, every day, get a hold of a vision for their life. Where, not only what am I going to do today, what should I do or not do today, but where do I want to be in my relationship with God in 5 years, in 10 years? What do I want to have done for Him in this year, next year? Or even in physical life, you know, what do I want to accomplish in my work, in my, you know, in my life in the next 5 or 10 years? And having that vision is so vitally important.
Amen.
God is a God of patterns. He gave Moses the pattern. He gave Noah the pattern for the ark. A very detailed pattern of how it was to be built. And the same way with Moses and Aaron, with the tabernacle and all the vessels and bowls and so forth. And as we live our lives, we're creating a pattern ourselves. In the same way that the earthly tabernacle was to be a pattern, an example, so to speak, of the heavenly tabernacle, our life, the way we make our decisions, our conduct and our choices should be a pattern of God's ideal, a pattern of God. As Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ."
Right.
And so we, in having that vision, our vision should be that our life exemplifies how God would have it. Or in other words, to say, exemplifies Christ. Ephesians 4:22 tells us to put off the old man. That's the first step in pursuing this vision. And as I was getting this message put together, or this lesson put together, one of the things that really stood out to me are the little things, the little habits, little inconsistencies. It's not a big deal, so we know better, but we let it go. It bugs us, but not quite enough to do something about it. Whether it's a habit of being impatient with those around us, our siblings, our just our situation in life, just whether verbally or just internally, just lashing out little bits. And that's a habit, but a habit of poor stewardship. I'm working on to correct it now, but for years I was a poor steward of my time. So I have a few minutes here, a few minutes there. And not going from one thing to the next in life in a day, just in a productive one after the other. That's poor stewardship, the same way whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's our attention. Being a steward of our attention, because as I've heard it said many times before, so to speak, there's only so much space in our head. And we can fill it with frivolous things. We can fill it as the wise young people that were gathered up here this evening were filling it with the Word of God. That's the most valuable thing you can fill it with. But often as I'm mostly directing this towards the young people here in the room tonight, but as young people or as people in any phase of life, it's very easy to fill that space in our minds, to fill that attention with less important things, more frivolous things. And while I'm sure that's not quite a scientific fact, but it's not what I'm going for here, at some point you're going to, so to speak, run out of space. There's only so much that you can fill it with before you fill it with all these frivolous things, and well, you can't memorize very well. There's many things that go into that. It's a matter of priority. It's a matter of whether you learned in life to put that effort in. Right. And because you didn't learn to put the effort in, you have a habit of low effort. There's many, many aspects that play into that. But the symptoms will come out as that you've spent so much time with lesser things that you don't have room, so to speak, for the more important things in life.
Right.
And I know I'm jumping from one thing to the next a little bit here. Apologize, that's kind of how it came together. But the same way, so we're talking about having a vision, the goal of where we want to be in 5 years, in next year. Time can move quickly sometimes. But find a good example here, but if we're saving money, for instance, to use an analogy, if we're saving money, if we save a dollar a day this whole next year, we're going to have something not far from $400 at the end of the year. But spending that dollar a day, spending $5 a day is easier than that. Just a little bit here, a little bit, you know, whatever the case may be. And so, in the same way, if we are practicing being a good steward of our time and our attention, the same way that we should be of our finances, it's amazing how quickly we can while away opportunities, the time span of our life that we should be spending so much time filling our minds with the Word of God, filling our building our habits of diligence, of carefulness and zeal. It'll be amazing. It is amazing to look back and to see how easy it is to while away little bits of attention, little bits of time here and there. And the lives are wasted 2 minutes at a time here and there. And it's very important in the phase of life, wherever each one of us are, but particularly I was thinking of the young people here, to look at where should you want to be when you are 20, 25, 35, or even beyond that, but really, where should you want to be when you're 25, 30, and what are you going to do today to achieve that?
Right.
It's the same as I was saying there earlier with keeping, you know, driving between the lines. You can't keep your car successfully between the lines just looking 10 or 100 feet in front of the car. That's what all of us that learn to drive, have a driving license, learned, is you have to look at out towards the end of the road. Not necessarily the horizon, but you have to look way off down the road, kind of at that point where all the lines and all the gray comes together in a spot, and you aim for that. And you stay right in the middle of the lines. There's no particular concern of how far you are from each line, because you're aiming for the center point all the way down there. In the same way in life, if you think about short-term gains, short-term ambitions, or something, perhaps some idea pops in your mind, whether financially, this looks interesting, or time-wise, it's important to get enough sleep. But as with Samuel's discussing balance, as with anything in life, it's important to get enough sleep, but it's important to get up when you should get up and go work hard. There's a time for the rest, there's a time for the working, and all of that is kept in place by focusing on the vision. I'm sorry, this wasn't put together very in a very concise manner, but it all was standing out to me this week as I was praying over and thinking over what to talk about this evening, that different young people in here, you're 15, 16, 17, and you're going to turn around and be 20, 21 or 25 before you know it. And you can be about the same place in life as you are today, or you can be, I'm just going to use Nathan, Brother Nathan, as an example, and myself as somewhat contrasting examples. So Brother Nathan was working hard, working diligently from when he, as long as I've known him. We've lived here, the folks have lived here, is it 11 years? 13 years? I told you time flies. So we've been living here 13 years. And as long as I've known him, he's been working diligently, I'm sure saving diligently. He's been not only working hard in his work and learning good work, teaching himself good work habits and diligence and saving up well, but also being very diligent in his spiritual life. And I didn't quite have I did not have the same vision during much of that time, and I whiled away decent parts of my, just nothing particularly wrong, nothing particularly right, just not improving all the time. And Lord willing, I have not been continuing to do that. But it's like compounded interest. Some of you in school learn about compounded interest or compounded savings. If you save a small amount and then it gains interest, it makes a huge difference having it there for a long period of time. Not sure how to phrase that exactly, but the idea of compounded interest. And the same way with diligence in life, you can, let's say you're 15 today, and you just while away the time until you're 25, and you realize what you've lost, and how life has gotten past you, both in your physical life and your spiritual life, and you set your mind to it, and you're not going to get back those 10 years. When you're 35, you might have made significant progress, but you're not going to be anywhere close to where you would have been if you had not whiled away that time. And I know that some of you in here are putting, many of you in here are putting a lot of work and a lot of diligence into your work and your spiritual life, memorization. But there may be somebody in here that doesn't have a vision, doesn't have a clear goal. Their sights set on, I'm going to be the most diligent, the most godly, the most diligent and God-fearing young person that I can be in the group, for instance, or that I can be. And if you don't have that vision, it's like you take the rudder off of a boat. I'd say take the steering wheel off of a car, but it's a little more obvious there. But take the rudder off of a boat, and it's going to drift, and it's going to go this way, and it's going to go that way, and sometimes it'll stop, and eventually it's going to get in a storm, and because it can't be controlled, it's going to turn over. because I don't know how to operate a boat, but I have an understanding that those that do know how to run boats, if they can control it properly in a storm, they can fairly well keep it from turning over in most cases. But my understanding is when you take the rudder off of a boat and you make it so you can't control it anymore, it's going to turn under in not much of a storm. But the same way that if you take the steering wheel off of a vehicle, it's not going to go very far at all. The same way with that in your life, you have to have a goal that you're shooting for. You have to have a vision, and then you have to live every day in pursuit of that.
Right.
You know, those small habits, those little whether wastings of time and finances and things like that, or whether it's attitudes, whether it's appetites, everything. The verse that says to bring everything into subjection, all those little things have to be looked at, have to be analyzed. It's like going through a bolts bin, and you've got little bits of nails and bolts and bits of wire. And is this useful? Is this going to work towards my goal? Yes. Is this? No. It gets thrown out. Same way. Any little habit, little tendency, you look at it, is this going to push me towards my vision, or is this going to be a weight? And you throw it out. The Bible said, if thine eye offend thee, cut it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And not the sense of necessarily, there is nothing innately evil. God created the hand. There's nothing innately evil about the hand.
Right.
But the idea being that no matter how dear it is to you,
right,
if it is not driving you towards that vision, it needs to be cut loose.
Right.
And also to consider, if there is something that you can see is not driving you toward the vision that is dear to you, what is that telling you about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so dear to you? And that's just very important. I just want to share that with particularly the young people here. You're all at a very, very crucial crossroads. Life may not seem like it, but time is cruising on by, with or without you realizing, I suppose. And redeem the time. The verse says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." How you redeem every day, the habits you create, the habits you foster, the appetites that you feed, that's going to have immeasurably multiplied effects 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. It's like the idea, you can't unshoot a bullet. And so the way that you live your life today, you are creating a momentum, you're creating a direction, and the longer and stronger that gets, that will get very, very difficult. If it's in the right direction, that will be more difficult to fall back from. And if it's in the wrong direction, that will be very difficult to straighten from. It's important that in building strong habits and building not only your reputation with those around you, but your reputation with God, your reputation with the devil. The devil knows how easy is this guy to go out. The devil has a history sheet on, well, this worked last year, and this worked the year before, and I know. The devil knows where all of your soft spots are. He's got an index of all your tendencies, all your soft spots. And so is the pattern of your life going to pattern after God's will, God's word, or is it going to pattern after that little list the devil has of all the soft spots and tendencies that he knows are easy to go after? So when you have something pop up in your life, pop up, I have this appetite, or I have this habit, is this just the devil poking at one of those soft spots? You know, a lot of time, well, there's always the tendency to think, well, this idea came from within me, this is my, I forget what it said and what Paul, how Paul phrased it, but something of, in me that is my flesh, there is nothing good. I'm not phrasing it exactly right, but just because it came from within, there's a carnal nature in there.
Right.
That's got a direct feed of ideas from the devil. He's got a list of all the soft spots, the tendencies that are, you know, the appetites. And they only got that way because they were fed or because they were allowed to grow. Little weeds. And we need to particularly watch for those in our own life. We know where our soft spots are, where our weaknesses and vulnerabilities are. And we need to diligently study the Word of God, spend time in prayer, draw close to God, to grow our spiritual life, to recover those, and to maintain our vision.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Very well said. I watch people, being a pastor, that's what pastors do. And I often ask myself this question, where's that going to go? Where's that going to lead? Tendencies, attitudes, actions. Because it may not be a big thing now. Even you little ones. You have tendencies, and I ask myself, I wonder how that's going to mature. I wonder where that's going to blossom. I wonder where that's going to go. Where will this young man be in 10 years? Where will this young lady be in 10 years? How is this going to manifest itself in the long haul? That's a question your parents have too. That's a question that we all have as we observe these young people growing up. I wonder how that's going to affect marriage. I wonder how that's going to play out in a career. I wonder how this or that is going to show itself eventually. Is this going to lead to a very sturdy pillar in the church? Or is it going to lead him away from God? Is it going to lead to becoming a Pharisee? Or is it going to lead to becoming a libertine? And where do you want to be when you're 55? Only some of you can answer that. Some of you, you're beyond that. Young men, do you know where you want to be? Young ladies, do you know where you want to be? What are you doing today? Amen? Mm-hmm.